views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
I just want to see, like, four-pronged predator alien Sandman try to put his lips together to blow the sand at people. He's just not getting it, so it's just going...
Or, like, if it's...
It just flicks it off of his hand.
He's, like, waving a fan at it, trying to...
Now they're used for the shield. He's got a fancy
dreadlock. Just shakes it out like swimsuit style.
But also, could you imagine
Dandruff Sandman? Yeah. No.
In the
Troy Polamalu Sandman.
No.
In the Tales of a Thousand Cats, like, it mimicked the shape, but it also kept the same voice. So the predator's not going to start speaking like English. But could you imagine trying to go like, oh, but like be like sleepy sounding, like, oh,
like a Mogwai.
Yeah. It's because I noticed that in that. The Tale of a Thousand Cats, they used the same actor's voice, but it was just that sleepy, just non-excited. Even in the most trial and tribulations of the show, when he's like basically almost going to die, or like when he's
murderous rage,
I did catch a Neil Gaiman in the animated one that he popped in there for one of the roles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think if I'm correct, I didn't check the credits, but Bird Skull had. Guardian to the
Oh, was that Gaiman?
It sounded like Gaiman to me.
I was wondering who that was, but yeah, okay.
Honestly, I was just excited that, ooh, I have something to come home and watch. More episodes.
I'm excited that they had one of the, like, anthology-style Sandman tales.
Both of the ones they did were perfect choices because they're just, it's, because, I mean, Sandman is one long story with lots of stories inside of it, you know, but those were two that you could completely do as one-offs.
Yeah.
And, no, I loved it.
What I did like that you saw a really smart combining of different stories or these single stories that were being combined with the overarching story arc.
Absolutely. That's the way the book is done. Mm-hmm. I mean, the book flows, you know, one story to the next seamlessly.
Well, I think the first season is supposed to involve the first, I think, 16 issues is what I read of the comic. But it's 10 episodes. They did have to combine a few things here and there along the way. But I think how they did that...
I have very few critiques.
Sure, yeah.
I have very few. And this has been one that I've been on pins and needles about.
It was this and The Watchmen were the two comics that everybody said you couldn't really adapt in any way. And I think The Watchmen was the best way you could have adapted it.
Absolutely disagree.
Agree.
Wholeheartedly.
You think you could do a better job with that?
Yes, do it like Band of Brothers. That was way too much to cram into just a 2.5
Well, that's the problem.
That's too much to cram into a 3.5 hour film.
That's the big difference. The Sandman was turned into a series. They made Watchmen into a
Absolutely.
Movie.
Absolutely. Anything you're going to take on that's got that much to it. I mean, and you're talking about Sandman and Watchmen. Both of those are... completed. They're done. So you've got your entire start to finish. So, yeah, there's no way.
The tumultuous journey that it took to get to a Sandman series, at one point it was supposed to be a movie starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt. There were multiple directors attached to the film version of this as well. It landed on Netflix as a series with Neil Gaiman attached as an executive producer and also creative input. But I think we ended up with the best possible version we could have of the Sandman.
Try to find someone else that literally looked like he pulled him off the comic book page. I could not picture a better Morpheus.
He nailed it. I mean,
and even how he talked, like, you know, it's a comic, so you're reading it, but like,
no, but he also didn't go full Batman either.
Exactly,
you know, because that's the default.
Yeah,
you know, I'm brooding.
And he did. Well, I brood. Like the classic.
He
Sandman,
more
he did
Draven.
Look like an agey sad boy. Just like a quiet.
Dream in the comics played it like an 80s sad boy.
Yeah, but I think
80s sad boy.
Just like they updated where this didn't take place in the late 80s, took place in 2021 is when he breaks out. They also updated kind of the tone of the Sandman as well, where he isn't quite as pouty 80s goth boy.
Well, I think just that's, I don't know if it's toned down or if it's just there's less brooding. I mean, just for
maybe less
the
brooding.
Simplification and to streamline it, because, I mean, there's a lot of brooding.
I mean, you do see him kind of pouty when he's feeding the birds.
Yeah, well, I mean, again,
he's very pouty.
That's my go-to.
Death shows up. It's like,
but hey, let's get this episode started. We got a lot to talk about on the Sandman, the new series that released on Netflix. The long time, decades This has been looking to be adapted in some way, shape, or form, the Neil Gaiman comic book. And we got a cast of our own characters to discuss it on this episode of Geeks on the Influence. Welcome!
Woo!
Yay!
Families at work, it shall be again. A changing of the guards, the tide's marching in. You think you can hold out, but you know you're wrong, so you better join us now. You better do it fast, or you will be dead. Light up, numb the gun, cause it's compromised the dead. You plan to take...
All right, before we continue on with the Sandman, let's talk about our endless supply of three panelists on this episode. there is an end to it, actually. But first off, a long time since he's been on, comic book extraordinaire Trey Vanneman is here.
Yeah, man.
Definitely a comic book nerd, deep dyed in the wool comic nerd. So I'm excited to pick your brain about the ins and outs of the Sandman comics versus the series, because there's always going to be some changes, but sometimes they're changes you understand, it makes sense, you see why they did the change, and sometimes it's like, that's fucking stupid. So
not much there.
And that's what I hear across the board, is this adaptation has been getting glowing reviews.
Yeah,
and the only people that are bitching, and what I love about it is that it takes away all of the heft from all the toxic, like, whiny fanboys that are bitching about how Death is Black or something.
Oh god, man,
everything else is so good that they look exactly what they are.
Do you want me to go on this tangent
right now? Oh, no, because I already know what you're going to say.
Oh, my God. It's
such a nonsense argument.
It's an absolute nonsense. Yeah. I mean, who cares if physically she matches what looked like on the panel? The main thing with Death, and Death is so important to me. Again, this is literally my favorite comic book, and I have read so many comics. Death, you have to be in love with her. You have got to... I've had a crush on that comic book character since the first time I read it. I mean, seriously, we should all be so lucky if that's how we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could not imagine a more, hey, let me just, we got a few things to talk about. This is going to be weird. Let me hold your hand. Let me, you know, it's just, and she crushed it. That episode was
such a soft,
gorgeous,
like, kindness
and
to the character.
I think they nailed the whole, you've got to be in love with her thing. When the dude came to ask her out,
absolutely,
like, she was
the woman playing her is, I cannot remember her name, but I mean, she's gorgeous.
But I mean, like, it just kind of emphasizes, like, natural draw. There's a natural attraction. You're drawn to her.
Yes, I mean, she's approachable. I mean,
exactly.
She would talk.
Yes, the woman
you,
who played her,
you know,
is fucking gorgeous. Like, hands down.
Oh,
like,
god, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's like, okay, seriously, you're complaining.
Yeah,
she nailed the part.
And that was, I'm assuming we're going to favorite episodes down the road, but like that was my third. Out of my top three, that episode six was my third favorite.
I'd have a hard time picking out the episodes because I started and didn't stop.
I got you. Well, it was the one right after the cafe. So. The cafe episode was episode five, where John...
Oh, actually, the cafe. I thought you said the cat.
The diner. Like, excuse me. The diner.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, not so much
way
cafe.
Way too long, way too late.
It's a diner. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that was the episode right after that. So
it was a nice flip, too.
It gave you the lividity from the darkness of that fucking episode.
Yeah, because the whole time I'm watching...
Spoilers, by the way. Spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
Spoilers.
the actress to play Death was Kirby Howell-Baptiste.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, gorgeous, believe... great role. I mean, I think she did a phenomenal job. Like, because Death, it took away that, it takes away the idea that Death is something that people are gonna, they fear when it comes, but it's also like, no, it's okay. This is happening, but it's okay.
I love that conversation too, where they're saying, you know, why are they so scared of dying? Like, dying is just as much a part of life as being born.
Well, and then here comes the episode with the wager, you know, about,
oh yeah,
you know, wait, so you're not going to die?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some of the best, I think, out of the actor that played Dream was when they would have their annual meetups.
That's the same episode.
What's that?
That was the back end of the same episode.
Yeah, on her wings, I think.
Yeah, on Death's wings, or her black wings, or something like that. Yeah.
When he comes in,
I think
you
that's
know.
A Danzig song that you're.
It fits though. Damn it!
I feel like lowering my chair. No, so when the year or whatever that he comes in, and you know, he's a beggar, and you know, he's getting thrown around, and he's going to have two nickels to rub their hand. He's like, "What? I got too much to live for." The look on Dream's face,
so
is
great.
Like, this guy,
yeah, this fucking
this is
guy.
My guy.
I half expected him to just like beat the shit out of him and walk out and just be done with the whole thing at that point.
Yeah, but no, I mean, it was like, I love by the end of that episode, It goes through death, and it goes through somebody who's able to cheat death, but mm-hmm. then it goes through, like, that is actually Morpheus's, like, one actual friend.
Yep.
Yep.
That's, like, his only friend.
And my one actual friend.
Human friend.
Human.
He's still technically human.
My one actual human friend is not my cat, is my co-host on Geeks Under the Influence, the sexual chocolate, Mr. Lowdown Brown MacGyver.
I'm sorry if that's true.
Like, I'm just, I have another friend, but he lives in Canada.
Not that you only have one friend, but that it's me.
Oh yeah, no, fair. Fair.
That's not. Yeah. Whew,
that's, that's why I only have one. I need the space.
Maybe we should try that out. Is just meet every 100 years. Think that would work?
I mean, I like make a deal with death. Like, let's be fair. I don't take care of myself.
Yeah, like, man. Like,
This has been ridden hard and put away fat. Like, this, I'm not making it 100 years.
All right. So the man who's got 20 years left, so at least you know there's 20 more years of GUI. And smack my pitch up. It's Mike Dalby Pickett.
Yeah, hope not.
You said it. I'm just... You know.
I can imagine me in my fucking 80s bitching on a microphone about Star Wars, so who knows? We'll see.
That's why we have Star Wars, so we can bitch about
it.
I wonder if that'll even be a thing in 80 years.
What, Star Wars? Yeah. Star Wars is timeless.
No, like, literal Star Wars will be happening at that point, so...
Yeah, we all thought we had to fly in cars in 2015.
I'm still waiting on my hoverboard, dude.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, like...
No, but this will be, like, Star Wars will be that the rich have flown away from the Earth they destroyed, and we are trying to kill them and take over their space station.
Oh, so Elysium.
Yeah, Elysium.
Elysium,
yeah,
okay.
It's a more realistic future.
So you're the Matt Damon?
Oh, God, I hope not.
I want to be Kruger. Fuck it.
I met Damon. I just want to start murking motherfuckers. Earth.
See, Revolution just sounds like so much work.
It does. Like, it does sound like a lot of work.
Yeah.
Take picture.
It does sound fucking exhausting. which actually speaks to another problem in today's society. They didn't mind it back in the day. You're like, fuck it. Murder those redcoat bastards.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're like, eh.
No, but we're like, no, but if we murder everyone, do we get Sandman season two?
Yeah, we're Sandman season two.
Dude, I'm backed up, man. Yeah. Robots.
Check out GUIpodcast.com for links to this show and others, all our social media, that stuff. And yeah, listen to some of the other shows. This one first, though.
Yeah.
With Sandman. So we... have, what was it, 10 episodes or 11, I guess?
12 with the bonus. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's it's no,
it's a two-parter on episode 11. Yeah. When I watched 12.
I had to skip the intro 12 times.
Okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, 11 times. I watched it the first time, and
The intro had, dude, there was like, no, like, so the intro was very quick, but the outro I actually would stop and watch a little bit because it was so much the comic, the cover art imagery. Yeah. I thought that was really well done.
Dave Keown.
Okay.
Dave Keown. Yeah, there's a great movie, by the way, that Neil Gaiman wrote. Dave Keown did the style for
Mirror Mask.
Yes, Jim Henson. Dude, oh my Mirror God! Mask Lowdown, have you seen that?
No.
Oh, mm-hmm. Watch Mirror Mask.
It's awesome.
Bizarre.
It's a weird fantasy movie.
It's
in line with like Labyrinth and shit.
It's like if Jim Henson did Cirque du Soleil.
Okay. Yeah, no, I haven't.
Yeah, it's a real fun movie. I think I have a copy of it somewhere.
Dave Keown did the cover work for all the Sandman books and everything after that, all the spinoff stuff.
Yeah, no, the cover art was fucking phenomenal. So I remember the first time,
collage and stuff.
Yeah, the first time I saw the end credits, I was like, oh, fuck yeah! I don't know. That was a great Easter egg for someone who appreciates the cover art because some people don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone's got their own thing with comics, right?
Yep.
That was just a really good. Yeah,
that's something we're seeing in series more, whether it be the storyboards that they use to create the series or cover art, that you're seeing like artistic representations of the episode or the series that are being put in the end credits, which I think is so smart.
Hawkeye, I remember, was heavy on, oh God, what is my street cred?
Yeah,
there's
one judgmental nerd. Like, come on, now.
One judgmental nerd. Come on,
yeah, they're all
we're peopled with judgment.
Yeah,
that's why we were given the internet so we could blast Kevin Smith.
Mandalorian was really big on putting the storyboard art.
Yeah,
on the
which was
episodes
gorgeous.
Yep.
Like, yeah, so, yeah, but
the great, especially
Marvel,
when you have something
Marvel had it in
that. This, I mean, the subject matter alone feels like this should be rotoscoped in watercolor. Like, there is such a ethereal feel to, like, all the characters in this story that I can understand the fear of how to adapt something that has such a, like, otherworldly tone to it and have it not come off as cheesy.
Yeah, it's almost like it should have been done in the... in the vein of like the art style of like Scanner Darkly and what was that other one where, you know, it's like you film it, but then
Waking Life.
It's like you film it and then you animate over top of it, so it just has that weird ethereal look to it.
I am really happy they didn't do that.
No, I am too. Yeah. But like the story and the concept, it welcomes that type of off the key.
Yeah, I mean, Sandman is definitely one of those too. I mean, it's going to be a hard thing to pull off because I think reading that, and anybody who's got a history with that comic line, it's the artwork was not what sold that book. It was the story. It was Gaiman. And, you know, like Sam Keith is one of my favorite artists. He did some stuff early on in there. It's not bad art. Some of it was not great artwork, but it was the story. So, yeah, you're going to remember some of the art and stuff, but that I think is more one when you go back and think about it, you're theater of the mind. You know, you're thinking about the images that the words put in your head rather than what you were looking at with the panel. So that's an even higher bar, I think, to jump when you're doing a physical recreation, you know, and trying to get that visual look, because now you're competing with the way it looked in your head, you know? So, but I think they nailed it.
No, it was gorgeous. I mean, like, just the Dreamworld was just fucking awesome when they introduced Dreamworld, and the arms just brought the bridge up, and man, it was just, goosebumps, man. And then his fucking palace was,
was amazing. I was also worried about Hell, because there was so many ways to screw up Hell, and Hell, that's where I saw probably the most challenges with the CGI was in Hell, but I think they didn't do a bad job.
No.
But especially, you're looking at how many characters they're creating CGI-wise, like at that one scene.
Like Underground Burning Man.
Yeah, kind of. And you're thinking that this is the same kind of CGI technology that they were using in the fucking Lord of the Rings movies to create that many different, like, characters, like CGI characters, even from a distance, and populate it. It doesn't look like they're all in lockstep doing the same moves. That's a lot of computing power for this little Netflix series, but it looked decent.
Netflix got a lot of money. Though.
Netflix got a lot of money.
It got less money. Disney just overtook them as far as the biggest streamer. But
I don't get that. As far as new content, they're way...
They got all the Star Wars, they got all the Marvels, they got all the Pixars, they got all the Muppets. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so I was going to say, like, I actually dug some of the nuances they put into Hell with, like, just the wall, like the gates and like walls just bought, you know, lost souls just kind of planted there that writhe and moo. You know, oh, God, it was fucking creepy. Now, I do think that they mimicked the style of Hell. Not mimic, maybe this show mimicked it from the comic as well, but Lucifer, it's also a game and property.
And a spinoff of Sandman.
And a spinoff of Sandman.
For the Netflix.
Loosely, sure.
Very loose.
It went to NBC, so they had to it really started on NBC or Fox or something like that.
It was Fox, I think.
It was Fox. And then Netflix picked it up and finished it with the last two seasons.
Right, and it's not a bad show.
No,
you know?
It's not, but
I haven't seen all of it.
Since it's the same universe, I still don't know why they didn't pick Tom Ellis. And I forget her name for Mazikeen.
Okay, and I think it was an amazingly
Since Netflix
good choice to do
owned
it.
That
it well, yeah, but that end. Has gone its own way off the rails so far.
And I did want to comment on this episode too, is that there was a lot of things that it chose not to do. There were characters we saw that were technically superhero or supervillain characters from the DC universe that they completely separated from DC because they wanted it to exist in its own world.
Yeah, like Martian Manhunter, you're not going to see him in there. Yeah. They changed John to
Joanna.
Love her. Yeah. Loved her from Doctor Who. And I liked it. That's a major change.
I love the actor that played Lucifer. Game of Thrones. And I didn't recognize the actor that played Mazikeen, but I thought phenomenal fucking job.
Absolutely.
So no complaints. Mm-hmm. I was just curious since I know Lucifer is in that world. And,
well, and again,
that hell looks the same,
death,
big tall towers.
A better
and
physical representation of what Lucifer looked like, you know, just...
The morning star, like the blonde,
and a little
blonde
bit
hair and all that. Yeah.
And, you know, but...
Well, it's angel. Angels don't have a sex, so it's
exactly.
They also have like 30 eyes and 4 sets of wings or some shit, so if you want to go by it, like...
Yeah, but it's still taking the fun out of being in hell, you know?
So I thought that is my second favorite episode was episode
hell?
4. Hell, it was so fucking good.
I was cracking up. I think partly it was intentional, but it was also like, it reminded me so much of like the geeky alien from when the Guardians of the Galaxy are locked up in the prison where there's the dude that shows up with his helmet And he's like, yeah, this is mine.
Oh, is that yeah. where they keep sending Groot? He's coming back with the wrong thing. Yeah. Like,
no, that's in two in the first one where they're locked up. Yeah.
And there's the dude that wants
to kill Gamora. And, yeah. and he's like, that's my favorite knife. Like, yeah. It's just like this geeky fucking secondary character. Mm-hmm. There's the dude that has the helm that's like, yeah, it's mine. You can't have it. Woo! Yeah. And it was such a like a dorky fucking like nothing level demon. That was like, yeah, no, like, I pick her for my thing, and I kind of love.
But at the same time, you've got to give him credit for having the balls to be like, no, fuck you, Lucifer. Oh, no, I'm not giving it back. Bet, yeah. I just give the finger to the Lord of Hell.
Yeah,
how do you think that's going to turn out?
You know, after he just witnessed the battle, that battle between those two was fucking awesome.
Oh, it was cool.
Yeah, oh, my God, the way they just, like, wanted it, it's all, oh, man, I was not expecting it to go that way, and having to top each other with...
Mm-hmm. Well, they gave it away in the title, but...
Yeah, but being like, I am black, you know, the end of all and everything, like, for him to come out with hope, it was, oh, God, it was so...
Well, hope
their dialogue in general was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It's both cheesy, but it's also like, ah, but you got me, too. I wasn't expecting hope, and like, all right, so fair, you fucking got it.
And then he used it again in their final conversation when Lucifer's pissed, and he's like, you know, if there is anywhere, especially hell, for people to have hope...
Mm-hmm.
Like it. Oh,
that's the prison.
That's the prison. That's is the you point. Have hope, but you'll never get there.
You'll never get.
Like, and it was so their dialogue and their conversation was so fucking good in that episode.
And that's been used time and time again in different movies of like the thing that like hurts people the most is giving them a little bit of hope. And the fucking Batman, the prison with the open the hole that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In Dark Knight Rising,
idiot.
That was the whole thing that made it bad. Is that there was the hope of escape,
and everybody tried and like
die
except for him. Apparently he doesn't die from a broken back. Anyway, another thing.
Not the
he's
Batman.
An amazing specimen of a man.
But yeah, exactly. It's the hope.
The and spine rises.
I just thought that conversation between them was amazing, and they're setting it up going back to hell for an awesome season too.
Oh yeah. No, Lucifer's a dick.
Yes.
Also, I don't see any world where this doesn't get a season two. Have they announced yet?
No, they have not.
Okay.
To the point that, you know, there was a thing where Gaiman's like, please go on there, watch it, watch all of it, like it, tell your friends.
I got somebody
heard
to,
of it,
I got,
like it.
I
it
got
was
one person
expensive.
To watch it. I got one person to watch it, and then they were like.
I own a bar, man. I have literally yelled at people. Like,
well, no, but
I'm cutting you off. Go home and sit on your couch.
I saw Paul
so I can talk about
Saturday,
it.
and I was like, hey, man, you should watch Sandman.
Yeah.
And then the next day he texted me, he's like, whoa, dude, thanks for telling me to watch Sandman. I'm on episode 4. It's fucking awesome. I'm like, I know.
Go home and finish it. I want to talk about it.
He was still at home.
Oh,
he was just, he was like binging it.
Get off the phone.
So I do, they've got, which it is worrisome. Like a lot of shows that bam, take off. It's like about 2 weeks, you've already heard greenlit for a new season. Two to 3 weeks, you know?
I don't know. I think.
It has not, as far as I've heard.
I don't see any place where, from the reviews that I'm hearing, from the number of people that are watching it,
Okay, so just the fact that so many popular things have been not picked up again because of, oh God, what was that show? It got rave reviews. Everybody liked it. It was the reimagining of like Sherlock Holmes, where he was just an out and out, and it was like the Supernatural spin on it.
Oh, Elementary, was that the one? Or no,
that no.
It was on Netflix. It was like Watson was kind of using like child labor with a gang of street kids that were thieves.
Oh, yeah, I know.
But it was like X Files meets Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah,
it was freaking great, man. And they're like, nah, it's too much money. And then you got like whatever's going on at HBO.
Well, you know, so, actually,
yeah, I that's popular. We don't need that anymore.
Being like, no, they're definitely going to green light, but HBO does have the DC license. Like the Warner Brothers, that's the DC license.
Yeah,
so,
I don't
like.
With
I don't
the
know.
New merger. Who knows?
I don't
man.
Know. I don't know legally I mean, where everything
they're,
stands.
They're, yeah, it's Discovery and
they're purging
Warner now,
a
so.
Lot
yeah,
of
dude,
stuff.
They are.
I mean, as far as not picking things back up and then removing
the
content.
The Crusader series they were going to do of Batman, they just canceled that either today or yesterday.
Yeah, no sequel to the Batman now anymore because they're shit canning.
Yeah. So again, I'm not getting hopeful about anything.
Yeah,
know?
That's true. Yeah,
I think DC needs to stop for
very
like 5 years.
This
and
is
come...
2022, man. Yeah. Hope.
Well, like Discovery and HBO, they're merging, and then the head of Discovery ends up being in the charge of the shit, and he's like, "Yeah, we need to stop doing all the scripted content that made HBO Max the powerhouse that it is. Let's put
we
on
need
more
Bachelor.
Reality shit.
Yeah. Put on the Bachelor."
And then have the gall to like, and it pissed off everybody. Where it's like, dudes like Things That Blow Up and Girls Like Reality Shows, and
we'll
both
separate
like,
those.
What the fuck, yeah, man?
We'll have cigars and brandy over here. Yeah. Right? You ladies
with
talk
our,
about
with our
the
mahogany
knitting.
Desk and our, you know, leather wrapped
pretty
chairs.
Close to. It,
yeah.
Was,
yeah,
it was wild.
Yeah,
it was
fucking stupid, man. But anyway,
so we'll see what comes from that. But yeah,
I would like this to have a home somewhere.
Absolutely,
and continue going. Yes,
I think. If not on Netflix, although I would like to see it continue on Netflix because it was done so deftly, I would hate to see a property done so well be given over to other hands or other producers that start meddling in it in ways that it shouldn't be. But I don't know. We'll see. I think there is still life in this property.
Oh,
in one
God,
way,
yes.
Shape, or form.
Well, they got a ton
I think
of source
we'll see
material.
More of it at some point, if not through Netflix somewhere else. I just hope it's the same caliber that we're seeing in the first season. Because... like I said, these episodes, they all connect to one another, but there's these little bits. And before the break, I did want to mention the diner episode.
Favorite fucking episode. Dude, watching the humanity just crumble. Yeah. I don't know, man. It was so heavy.
That
dude.
Was the one when I'm watching it and I'm sitting there because, I mean, the minute it kicked on, I started watching it, you know? So when we got to the diner, it was like, oh my God, is America like this? This is so far out of the box. Like, I mean, because it's such a quick jump from what sure. you've seen to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh my God, are they going to do it like the comic book? And they're like, oh my God, they are. Does everyone else like this? I was terrified.
That is my favorite episode. Just because when you're watching it when you're watching that episode, it pulls you in because you know what the Ruby can do. He's got his Ruby now.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he's going to change the world. Everyone should be honest, which I do agree with to a point. So that's where the corruption comes into the Ruby.
Going
with this.
Full Beyonder mode,
yeah,
though.
That's what I'm saying. That's where you see how the Ruby
mm-hmm.
bastardizes everything. And mm-hmm. it and watching that unfold
mm-hmm.
in the most, like, those people had to eat the same meal for like 7 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
How are they even walking?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just everything that was happening to them.
Wouldn't mm-hmm. it called like the belly buster or some shit,
yeah.
too?
Yeah. It's like, what the fuck? Just that alone, but just all everything, the way everything unfolds.
Yeah, how have you had like 9 of those and you're still DTF, you know?
Right, exactly.
And the book has blown like 6 dicks.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right? Like,
she's like, ah.
Well, no, see, I think, so that.
Jay setting in real hard.
That part, I do think that, you know, that was the like the denouement. That was the fuck, that was it, they stopped repeating everything and now this is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, the cutting. What they had to do to each other and like
mm-hmm.
Oh man, it was just so, I mean, it's depraved as fuck, mm-hmm. but it's a solid episode.
It was
sticking the landing at the end and having that conversation of them the viewpoint of what people are is mm-hmm. like, this is what people are. They're depraved, they're fucked up, they're selfish, they're awful. And then the flip of you recognize in that moment why the Lord of Nightmares refers to himself as the Lord of Dreams, because like there's this other side of the coin that as much as there are nightmares, hope brings in
back to hope,
like dreams mm-hmm. brings in like aspirations. It mm-hmm. brings in what people want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he expresses is that like, no, people are this if you take away hope,
mm-hmm.
but if you pull in hope, then they become better people. Mm-hmm. Then you see what people all really are. You mm-hmm. can't look at one side of the coin. You have
yep.
to look at both. And so, for you to see, you know, him recognizing that, yeah, there are nightmares, but there's also, you know, aspirations and hope and dreams, and telling this other dude, like, yeah, you're only catching one side of it. It just really informs the whole episode perfectly. It's a really hard stick landing. I think it was brilliantly done.
Yeah, and I know we're getting ready to go on break, but with that episode, we have a little tie-in to the future episodes with the Vortex. Remember
the Vortex,
the girl, yep. Daphne, like mm-hmm. she calls at looking for her girlfriend mm-hmm. and the whatever the Vortex's name is.
The chick at the bar was like,
yeah,
yep. She's on FaceTime.
But
whatever,
it was a cool
whatever,
little tie-in to mm-hmm. what we move forward to the next story. Because, right, we got two stories in one season, mm-hmm. basically.
Yep.
I thought that was cool. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing, because there's the nerds. There's the genre nerds that either whether you like comic books or not, or you like fantasy or sci-fi and stuff, in the first few weeks of a show coming mm-hmm. out. Those are everybody's jumping on it right away.
Right.
And then you've got the secondary term people where they're finishing their show. They don't want to start another thing before they finish their thing. Casual viewer that are going to pick up on it. And that's like Joe Schmo America.
Well, again,
that picks up on
being
this.
At the bar, you know, I've talked to dozens of people that have watched it and have no outside knowledge of it. They don't mm. read comics. They've mm. never even heard of it before this, whatever, you know, and then I don't know how many people, you know, sitting there and just hearing, you know, half of the bar like, oh my God, it's the best thing. they come back and like everybody's liking it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're into that, you know, beforehand, or you're just a comic book person, people that are just, I want to watch something that looks neat. It's getting really good feedback.
Great, great.
That's, and you have to, and you have to have the open mind to watch it too. And or if you're already a Neil Gaiman comic reader, you understand. But like I have, on the other hand, also heard a lot of complaints about a lot of the sexuality in the show.
Well, okay.
We're
all preaching to the choir here.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
moving into the bar district and complaining about the noise.
Exactly.
You know,
right?
You knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's also, it's like someone who knows Neil Gaiman and knows like Lucifer's like, what do you really know Neil Gaiman? Do you think Good Omens was a straight story?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like,
this just goes into the absolutely.
Sorry. It's like, just, it just baffles my mind.
The endless is the nonstop barrage of like a very small contingency of nerds that literally everything that's coming out is woke. Like every Marvel property is woke. Every DC property is woke. Every fucking comic book story is woke. Star Wars is woke.
What's
like,
crazy about this is 80s source material that is pretty much true to the source material. Mm-hmm. So it's not woke culture. This mm-hmm. is fucking 40 years old.
Commenting on it. He's like, if this is woke, it was woke in 88 when it yeah. came
That's
out.
That's what I'm
like,
saying. Yeah. It's almost 40 years old. Jesus Christ.
I heard somebody complaining about like, well, you know, I can't remember what derogatory way they said it or what word they used, but talking about the sexuality of desire. And I'm like, boy, do you have zero knowledge what you're talking about.
Fun fact.
Zero knowledge.
Fun fact, they are from, it's either Arlington or Fairfax. The actor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're from Northern Virginia.
Let's talk about somebody else who crushed their role.
Yeah, no shit.
Oh, my God.
With very little. Wasn't on screen a whole
lot. No, but dude, very
hold on.
Little.
Hold on.
I'm looking forward to more of them.
The ultimate, I think, as far as for crushing their role is when they put them in a cat suit.
Okay.
I was like, what the fuck? Dude, that was like, I was like, whoa. Holy just shit.
The casual, like, oh shit, I'm caught. Doesn't matter. Let me do the sexy lay down. Yeah.
But then there was a whole thing with like Morpheus and Desire where like Morpheus pulls her head all the way back and you're like, are you about to fuck your brother?
That's, I don't know. Desire's down for whatever.
I think they're like,
no, I was
ultimate DTF. Right?
No, what I mean though is just it was like intimate almost to the point of not sibling intimacy.
Yeah.
It was just that line. I'm like,
that's a line I'm a little like, not okay.
But they didn't cross it. There was a lot of sexuality just in that where Morpheus was actually pissed, but he's like, you know.
Yeah, this isn't a boys episode. Yeah.
I'm hoping we do get to a point with fandoms like all this like unnecessary, just boring. It's boring. It's boring complaints. It's
that's the stuff I don't give a time of day, man. I got stuff to do.
Yeah, you're parroting the same shit over and over again, and it's nonsense, it's stupid.
Or you're mad that Desire turned you on. And,
that's
probably what it is. That's what it is, dude.
Oh, you got some questions you need to work out, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Or they can't just admit that, like, okay, no, attractive. I got it.
Beginning to happen.
Not trying to fuck you, but attractive. Like,
stuff like
I'm not saying it's a problem for you, but it's definitely not my problem.
The stuff with, like Sandman with, it even happened with Stranger Things. Like, we got to make a character gay. Well, like, there's like 30 main characters. One of them's got to be gay. Like that's just we're just doing percentages here.
It's like the people that are complaining about that are still under the influence that homosexuality just popped up in like the early 2000s, mid 2000s.
No, somebody
like,
that
it didn't exist
Sandman
at all.
It's like that's where all gay comes from.
Yeah, it didn't Sandman. Exist before, you know, pre Y2K. It was Y2K. It made all the gay people.
Yep,
that's what it did. Yeah, fucking idiots.
No, but I think there is from what I've noticed again. I don't have the numbers, but there is a curvature in the way that people are dealing with fandoms. Is that the loud, screamy fanboys, just like the racist boomers, they're going to be in the comment sections of everything for a while, but everybody's just not reading their
don't
shit.
Don't fucking watch
them.
It. If you watch
it's gotta
it,
be exhausting to be that like, hateful.
Yeah, dude.
It's fun out of life.
It's not worth the time to engage because you're not going to change anybody's mind. These are people here that literally like
stupid.
Are feeding off of pissing people off. So
or feeding off of just being disgusted and hating things that aren't disgusting or things
they're
you should
hate.
They're
ruining everything I love.
Those are little things that come out of people's mouths.
I'm feeling very solid on you're just mad because you're turned on by design.
Yeah.
Sorry. What it is, man. Just roll with it.
Yeah.
So
anyway.
On that note, we're going to take a break so we can all mutually jerk off together thinking of desire.
That did not turn me on.
That was actually horrific. A little scary. Yeah.
When we come back, we're going to be talking more about the Sandman and what we're drinking, drunken scene, all that shit. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-Wiggin animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIpodcast.com.
In a world of blockbuster movies, there is another dimension.
The dimension of schlock cinema. Join us at Beautiful Disasters on a journey into the fringe territory of B-movie abandon.
We review the flicks that are forgotten or underappreciated to give them a proper place in the annals of celluloid history.
I'm the Groots.
F.U. Hunter.
Your guide at Beautiful Disasters. Come along with us for a fun ride.
May the schlock be with you.
In a world with too many reboots and remakes,
two men will stop at nothing to make it even worse.
Join Mike the Hobbit and Tondi as they play by their own rules while pitching new takes on some of your favorite and least favorite films and TV shows. What podcast would dare to bring this upon the world?
This is Smack My Pitch Up.
Hey guys, Scotty P here with Smash.
On your left.
And we are
the Geek Fathers.
That's right, bringing all the trials and tribulations of being a geeky parent.
So welcome to our world.
And as always, join us
or cry.
We're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, all things Sandman, the new series on Netflix from the classic comic book from Neil Gaiman. But before we get into that, let's talk about our sponsors a little bit. First up, of course, is Amazon.com. You hate it just like we do, but it's a necessary evil sometimes when you're running low on toilet paper and you have COVID and you have no other way to get it. Order from Amazon. Just make sure you do it through our link at GUIpodcast.com so we get some of the money instead of Amazon. It's your way to say fuck the man without actually fucking the man. No one needs to fuck Jeff Bezos. But also,
people are.
If you want to get...
I'd consider it. I mean, there's a paycheck.
If you want to get all your nerdy merch that you can't get locally, then that's the way to do it. You know, I would suggest if you want to check out Sandman, go to your local comic shop. Support local.
Yes, support local comic shops.
Make sure that they stay afloat.
Absolutely.
But if you wanted to pick up movies, pop culture shit, anything that we mention aside from Sandman comics, let's say, then and you can't find it locally, then check it out at Amazon.com. Just remember, go through our link. And the real way to support the show is TeePublic. We've got some new designs coming up here in the not-too-distant future.
Next month, I believe they're going to drop, right?
We've got spooky season.
Yeah.
Spooky season's coming. As of September 1st, we're going to be dropping the seasonal designs for the Halloween season, as well as a couple new designs for spooky season. So make sure you take out your checkbooks. I don't think they take checks, actually. Who takes checks anymore?
We discussed how we've talked about it. Yeah, exactly. Like, we discussed.
Imagine somebody like earlier. Pulling out a check to write it to a website. Like, yeah. Oh, like no.
Big pay to the order of www.whatever the fuck.com.
That's my mom being like, I want to support my kid. How do I do this? TeePublic. We've got, I think, over 50 designs at this point.
It's ridiculous.
On the website.
It's ridiculous. It's
going to be close to 60 when we drop all the Halloween designs. So we're sailing.
What new ones do we have to look forward to?
I've got one that might or might not be a Morticia design that I've been working on.
I got you.
That will be dropping. And I have another one that I'm working on currently. Until it gets good enough that I know I'm going to be able to pull it off, I don't want to mention it in case I fuck it up, which I do sometimes. So, So you're going to find out, as well as the other panelists, some of the designs that we have coming. They're dumb and weird and fun. So check that out. GOPodcast.com/store. To find the link to our TeePublic page and buy shit. It's on sale all the time. If it's not on sale, wait like 4 days. It'll be on sale.
Yes.
That's how it does. So, yep, that's our sponsors. Now on to the fuel that really drives this show, the liquid courage that allows us to say stuff that's really, challenging, like Sandman's good. It's really real. Yeah. Real edgy.
Funny opinion books.
Comics are fun. Yeah, real hard edgelord shit that we're spouting here on GUI. We're talking about what we're drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey,
we're drinking. We're getting drunk.
We are not drinking much tonight.
No.
I like though that because I threw together my shit. Also, Lowdown's rolling in with some like just this is what I got kind of energy.
Yeah,
which I appreciate.
Yeah, I was sweating all day. I want something refreshing.
Yeah, for sure. The tasty beverage that I was sipping on is the Abita Giacomo Juicy IPA.
Abita is fucking solid,
Abita
man.
Abita is very solid. They're this is from the variety pack that they put out that has their amber and their strawberry. Their strawberry is so fucking good. But the Giacomo Juicy IPA, I'm very picky with my IPAs. This is double dry hopped, which is not normally my go-to, but
it's... Makes it extra hoppy.
It's extra hoppy, but you know what? The balance is there. I dig it. It is solid. It is 6% alcohol by volume, so it's not going to kick you in the dick too hard.
Well, it has more to do with the types of hop they use versus the...
Sure. Dick. Yeah, yeah. And I don't know if that says that on here.
Beer schnob in me here, but yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, as far as somebody that's...
I mean, ask Trey. I'd primarily just drink Falcon Smash.
Yeah, no, you branch out to Miller Lite when, you know, you're eating.
True.
And Falcon Smash is another solid IPA that I will fuck with.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's fucking delicious, it's man. Hometown, East Coast local, baby.
Yep.
I feel sad. There's no East Coast local shit. I always like try to bring East Coast, like, local fucking
usually
beers just because...
Yeah, we usually have at least something on the table, but this was definitely Tuesday night, just get it going, kind of.
Back to Abita, I will say I was in a beer store over the weekend and I saw their pecan ale, which is their fall line. So I'm excited till it gets cooler and I can enjoy that.
This might be one of the last episodes to hit before we start getting all the delicious seasonal brews.
Oh no, Oktoberfest has been out for like 2 weeks.
I mean, it's out, but we haven't introduced it onto the panel.
Oh yet, yeah. Like I got my stockpile because you got to, folks, buy it now. Because when you go in October, we're like, oh, it's cool. I want Oktoberfest. It's going to be gone.
Yep.
And you're going to be pissed.
Oh,
buy it now.
If you didn't buy your winter clothes 3 months ago, you're fucked.
Exactly. Yeah. Buy it now. Mm-hmm. I say again, buy it now.
That's going to be the fun part come October where we have like 8 shares.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Because everybody brought their
stockpiling
their
shit,
fun
bitch.
Seasonal.
Yeah. Pumpkin spiced everything.
Pumpkin spiced things that taste like s'mores. You know,
that
like
might be good. That may be their first actual fall shares. Hardywood's pumpkin, Farmhouse Pumpkin should be coming out in like a couple weeks.
Ooh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So
anyway.
What are you sipping on, Lowdown?
Oh, I have, this is the second of two Bud Light Seltzers, the Cherry Limeade. This is from their Retro Tie-Dye series.
Ooh.
It's delicious and refreshing.
Bubbles. I think that's Bubbles. The closest I've ever seen tie-dye to your body in our entire friendship. So,
oh, you didn't see that? You didn't see that picture way back a girlfriend took of me wearing like a tie-dye Bob Marley shirt with like a yellow zip-up hoodie and like I was totally just being an asshole on Hot Topic one day and just put on all the shit I would never wear kind of thing. Actually, but it was actually on my body.
Can you just picture you at a fish show wearing tie-dye and you can literally see boiling happening within your body. You can hear it. You walk by, and it sounds like you're ready to throw the spaghetti in. Like that's...
You remember in The Boys, how Soulja Boy? That's what would be happening inside my body.
Right.
There'd be no more fish concert.
What would be gone? No more Trey Anastasio, ladies and gentlemen.
No, sorry. There you go. Sucks.
He got killed by a hate beam.
Hate beam.
I can't do the seltzers, man. They taste like TV static to me.
TV static.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I imagine TV static would taste.
Okay.
You know, I'd give you shit, but then I read a thing recently that if you look at something, you can tell what it tastes like because your taste buds are tuned to know what everything
it's
is supposed to taste like.
A can of TV static.
And then after I read the article, I was just looking around my house being like, dusty, plasticky, like, yep, well, no, I know what everything tastes like. Oh, no.
Well, since, you know, we went to flat screens, they had to do something with the TV static.
Right.
So they canned it up, and there you go.
Yeah.
Fuck it, man.
Ferment it a little bit. Let it get that nice 5%.
Life gives you lemons, you can the shit out of it.
New Misfits brand Static Age Seltzer. Available for $12 a can at any
show. Oh, dude, yeah. Someone literally needs to create a seltzer brand that all they do is have like their different versions of Static Age song titles. Like, this is Hybrid Moments.
Where girls dare.
And this is this is TV Casualty. This one we just call She. Like, that would be amazing.
I'm here for it.
Spinning gold. Again, always just spinning gold.
Jerry only is like taking notes as we speak.
He needs all the help he can get.
Well, like he wouldn't merch literally whatever he could at this point. So
I can't say anything. I'm sitting here with a refreshing thermos of water from my cooler.
Delicious.
But I have been smoking weed since I woke up.
Cool.
I feel fantastic.
So you are under the influence.
Oh, fuck yeah. Hell yeah.
So you're thematically...
Life
is way easier with eyes half closed.
I would take that versus I envy you.
As long as
okay, that's fine.
As long as you're not smoking weed called Mr. Sandman, because we don't want you passing out before.
There has definitely, in the history of weed, been a one called Sandman.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Like, there's, without a doubt.
Zero doubt.
There's been one called Sandman. And I bet, because it had gold fucking crystals on it, it's called Sandman. Like, there you go. That's it.
I have no idea what the name of my weed is.
Listeners, if you happen to have Sandman, send us through our voicemail, 804-505-4484. That's 804-505-4GUI. Send us a picture. I want to see what Sandman weed looks like.
Or just a picture of your keef, because anytime you use a grinder, the keef all looks the same, and it looks like Sandman
Keith.
Sand.
I thought you said Keith. No. Send a picture of someone named Keith.
No.
Send a picture of Keith.
am I wrong?
Please, at this point, send us a picture of someone named Keith.
Send a picture of Keith holding Keith that's called Sandman.
Yes.
Just hit all
because all my keef always looked like Sandman. I could see that being Sandman Sand.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Brown, yeah.
Fuck cool. Yeah. So back to the actual episode.
We like weed.
One thing that is apparent is the liking of weed on this episode. But also, one thing that is apparent is the main villain, for the most part, for this series, and it is, of course, the Corinthian. I mean, he is really set up as being kind of not only the creation of, but the main protagonist
There was a whole Frankenstein monster dynamic.
You made me this way.
It was beautifully done. I mean, and I'm not a huge fan of that particular actor. Like, I liked him in Logan, but he's been in a few other things that I just didn't care. Like the movie The Predator, he was in. I'm like,
that wasn't his fault,
though. No, like, but he has been in other things like that. I'm drawing a blank on because I recognize him. Mm-hmm. And so when I saw him, this like, please be good in this Sandman. And he was
fantastic.
Fucking awesome. Yep. Oh, he was so good. What a great choice. Yeah,
What I was impressed with is like his dedication to the character, that he literally got his eyes replaced with teeth for this role.
That is not cheap.
Was impressive,
and that was probably the creepiest thing in this entire series.
Oh man, no, like they did it right. It was subtle, like it wasn't. I don't know.
Do you notice how it opened and closed with his mood and emphasis when he was saying?
It didn't match his like mouth when he was talking. It worked like eyes
exactly, and that was eeriest fucking thing they had on that show.
Mm-hmm. I'm just waiting for the internet to take a frame of him with his glasses off with the teeth and then make him sing songs, because you know that's coming. It's going to be on the Reface app or something.
Yeah.
Where he's going to be singing like Spice World songs or something. And yeah.
Well, you know how there's that trend where everyone would like, as soon as they would turn, it would make their like eyes spin and their tongue twirl out?
Like, that was a trend?
It was a trend like I saw like a week ago. Everybody was posting that shit on Instagram.
Oh, remember, I don't do social media. I thought you like literally meant people.
No. Like there was some,
I missed that.
You know how people are able to do that physically.
There was some filter where as soon as they like
Looney Tunes.
Like if they were looking at an angle, nothing. And as soon as they turned straight ahead, it would all of a sudden their eyes would start spinning and their tongue would come out of their mouth and twirl. And I'm like, they just do that with him. And now it's just their eyes become teeth and their.
I'm telling you, between all the face recognition app stuff that you can do. And now there's the DALL-E AI art program in 5 years, making a movie with special effects is gonna be fucking nothing. You can do it with just the right computer where you can just get it to be like, make a background where it's space and there's lasers, and it'll be like, here you go, there's space and lasers, and then you're done, you're good to go.
Truth. I mean, yeah, it's the way it's going.
it's buck wild, the amount of like accuracy with the new version, not the one that I've been posting shit with. That's the old version.
Yeah.
That's fucking weird.
Back to the Corinthian, though. Let's go back to the Corinthian.
This is Jack the Ripper.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
That is, you know, a nightmare created by Sandman, and he is like loose on the world for.
He escaped, you know.
Well, he escaped, and then Sandman got kind of delayed for 100 years.
That he's the reason that he got captured, because he went into the earth.
Okay, I do want to veer off here, because this is one of my few complaints, and it's minimal. But we're talking about him getting captured. I really like Sandman's punishments in the comic. I mean, he's not a second chances kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, so
they did make him kind of soft in this.
They pulled the punch, man, because that's one of the better punishments he hands down is the eternal waking. And I mean, and that delivered in the comic book, where I feel like the show really just nerfed it and glossed over.
I mean,
it's just you kind of. I'd be curious. That's not something I've really talked about with non-comic book people. So I'd be curious as to get an unbiased, you know, what did you think of that without having any background to it? Because that was one of the few letdowns. Because was just, when you think about the waking up from a nightmare over and over and over for all of eternity. And it's
that's hell.
Like,
that's literally hell.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I was disappointed with it, but for different reasons. Mm-hmm. So my thing was, I get why they went that way, because the natural progression they had been doing with Morpheus up to that point, mm-hmm. he had pulled his punches a couple other times prior to that episode.
You put me in a bubble for like 100 years. Mm. Fuck you.
No,
and you killed my bird.
No, but,
and you killed my bird. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, he had already kind of been pulling his punches, like not
you. But a changed man is a changed man, but fuck you, dude.
No, seriously.
You did that.
Yeah, exactly.
You did that, man. I'm going to turn over another leaf tomorrow.
This is like...
right now, my foot's up your
ass. And he just had that huge spiel about what he did to the world. Morpheus was clearly angry with him about how he created the serial killers.
Mm-hmm.
There was that whole speech about, like, mm-hmm. these are why these people are doing this thing, because you instilled in them that it was okay. So I think that the punishment with him just erasing back to the bare bones that he built him from was still kind of weak sauce.
Oh, no, okay. I think maybe we're talking about two different things. I'm talking about the son of the magician that caught him.
Oh.
Was it Magnus's son?
Oh, yeah. Magnus. Yeah. Oh. No, yeah. I still think that the Corinthian is the reason also why, because if the Corinthian hadn't escaped, he wouldn't have been on Earth to get caught and put in a fucking bubble either.
Well, he would have gotten out.
No. The Corinthian escaped because he was in the bubble.
No, remember, he shows up, finds a Corinthian, and then he starts to grab him and bring him back. He's got his helm on.
Oh, yeah.
And then he gets pulled into the fucking...
The reason he stays in the bubble is Corinthian shows up and say, don't give him pills to stay awake. Don't let them sleep. Like, gives him all the rules.
He gives him all the rules. You know, yeah. Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
They give it to soldiers. It's fine.
The reason why it was 100 years is because the Corinthian's like, oh, you got this thing. Well... let me help.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you're talking about two different deaths. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, my bad. No, I was a little vague on that.
I mean,
was talking about the way he punished what's his head? You know, no, not Corinthian. With the Corinthian. No, that was, I think, appropriate. And
no, I mean, I feel like the Corinthian could have died a little more. Something could have happened a little more bloody than that.
Okay. So here's the. I think this not weird, but. That was his nature. So I think there was a level of understanding from Dream that I made you. You're a nightmare. Mm-hmm. This is your nature. Yeah, you went off the reservation. You fucked off. You were being a dick. That's not your purpose, you know? But I still think there was a level of, I don't want to say love, but, you know, it's his creation. You know, I made you. You're, you know, in a way a part of me, you know? And in a way, I made you this way, so yeah, fuck you, you gotta go. But
wasn't that after he recognized that one of his other creations did change,
yes.
was a nightmare and wanted to change, and
yeah,
wanted
nightmare
to
change.
You had three different
with the
ones
sun,
dip and
with
you
brother.
Had three different reactions from Dream from it, you know. Yeah. You had the Corinthian where it says I'm gonna track you down and I'm gonna, you know,
gonna
deep unmake you.
Yeah. You had the one that
then you
was
had the nightmare
the
yeah what's that.
It was keeping Jed, giving Jed hope.
Yeah, Galt.
Galt, yeah. And then you had the one
who
was with the
sister.
Who
didn't want to be a nightmare anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like, I want to be a dream. And, okay, well, yeah. And then that's, I think, a really good example of Dream evolving, you know.
Oh, it totally was.
Because, you know, it's like, he's just rage, and you hurt me, and I'm going to be a sad bastard about it, and you're going to go sit in the corner. But that, and then there was Fiddler's Green, where it's
Fiddler's
just
Green
like,
was,
yeah.
Yeah,
but... you know, I mean, it's you screwed me over just like these two did.
You also inspired the main building from Land of the Dead, which is not great.
No.
It's like with celebrities, you know, they
well, once you
do
see,
something ill and also
once you see Fiddler Green return to form, you're like, how could you erase that? Why would you destroy? Why would you just say no? Fuck you! You're done. No, because it's so gorgeous.
Also, there's such a familiarity with their conversation with one another that even Dream shows up and is like, "Yo, bro."
What are you doing, man?
What the hell? And he's like, hey, man, I wasn't actually trying to disrespect
you. See, what happened was.
Yeah. No, he's like, you were gone, and, you know.
Like, I was always planning on coming back. Like, I just wanted to see what it was like with folks and stuff.
I put in my vacation request ages ago. I mean, I'm sorry if you weren't here.
If you didn't get it, you might want to check with other people.
Yeah, just like library.
HR cleared this.
She just got out of the doghouse, so like maybe not throw that on her right in there.
But it was the kindness in that conversation with the two, where they saw each other almost as friends to a degree, or at least that was the tone of it. And Fiddler's Green was like, man, like I'm cool with being back.
Look, yeah, like I you're dig back being great, the landscaping like, cool. Here.
Yeah,
but...
yeah, I love being a hedge.
Seriously,
it's great, but
Jesus, look at my hills.
Yeah, my waterfall gushes.
Yeah,
he's like, dude, the rest of the kingdom was dying. You weren't around. Like I was sitting here being pretty for no one.
Yeah,
so I was
exactly.
Like, I'm gonna dip for a little bit. Mm-hmm.
How am I supposed to look better than your palace when your palace is looking ratchet as fuck? So mm-hmm. You know, excuse me,
I'm gonna find out about this thing called karaoke. How about that? Like,
yeah,
that actor though, because he was in what was he? He was in V for Vendetta,
mm-hmm.
and a few
I'm
other
sure
things.
He was in a Harry Potter movie.
He was in Harry Potter. He was.
I mean, if you're British, you were in a Harry Potter movie.
You know shit. He was in a few other things. He's a good actor as well.
I also love the house that he was in Florida with all the other weirdos.
Yeah.
Where it was great because it had, what's his name? John Cameron Mitchell from Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Mm-hmm.
He was the owner of the home, mm-hmm. the house, I think.
Mm-hmm. The one was doing the drag shows.
Yeah, the drag shows and stuff. And he's always fantastic. So that was great.
God, that one dream he was having where he was watching himself on stage,
rip his
peeling
face
his
off
skin off.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah, that was, that was definitely a nightmare.
And then the creep twins.
Yeah.
Creep twins. Spiders.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I was more creeped out by the Ken and Barbie couple.
Yeah. That, dude, you know what creeped me out? Guy. That fucking man bun, dude. That was creeping me the fuck out, dude. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, I was just like, stop. This is... Again, is set in 2022. Mm. No. That died like 3 years ago. Stop it. Please stop it.
It was just weird to see like the spooky twins and Ken and Barbie living peacefully under one roof. I'm like, where was this in the 90s when I was in high school?
Yeah, again, 2022.
Portland. Yeah, 2022.
Portland.
Yeah,
Portland. Yeah. Portland. Yeah. Now maybe the descendants of those people were in one of the homeless towns in Portland.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we both like nature.
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
Cool.
You dig spiders? All right. That's cool. I went outside once.
Oh, man. No.
It's funny in this iteration, the like live action version of it, it's still a spooky story. It's still got like its goth elements to it, but it's definitely transcended the tone of the book because the book is like it's drawn in a way that it speaks to like the like gothy British kind of tone.
Oh yeah. It's like going back and reading Hellblazer.
Yeah.
I mean that's super 80s.
And so like to see it this version on film, there's moments like the spooky spider sisters where you get that little blip of the comic showing up and being slightly out of place because everything else has been kind of like done realistically.
Yeah.
And then there's we like spiders. We're like, yeah, that's the comic.
And we're back. Yeah.
There it is.
There it is. Yeah. Okay.
But I kind of loved it for that too. Mm-hmm. And it just reminded you, like, by the way, this is from a spooky kid that wrote this.
Yes.
So
yes, spooky kid.
This is what like inspired Johnny the Homicidal Maniac and Lenore. Oh, you know?
I love my Johnny.
I read Sandman, but it's been I was a teenager probably the last time that I read it. I haven't gone back and reread Sandman in forever, and I'm inspired to from this. I need to go back and
read it. Oh, you should. No, I've got, this is one of my bigger splurges on myself, and I got it 100 years ago. But I've got, it's like an oversized, like leather bound,
I think I've seen that complete works.
Oh, yeah, it's gorgeous, and it was obscenely expensive.
I'm sure.
I bought it ages ago. Yeah. And for a reprint, you know, something.
Yeah,
I mean, I've
yeah.
spent, you know, you guys seen some of the books that I got. I mean, that's buku stuff, but that's something that's, you know, it's going to go up in value. And,
yeah.
You know, this is but a reproduction. It's gorgeous.
It's
but
a reproduction,
it
but it's a nice collection because they didn't do a first pressing in leather bound and all that shit. So.
No, but I mean, it's just got a bunch, you know, huge forward thing.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like this
concept
huge,
art,
you know,
stuff I don't need, but I like, and it's pretty.
Speaking of spooky comics,
exactly.
I just want to give a shout out to a longtime friend, Casey Gilley, comic book artist, that just won an Eisner at the last San Diego Comic-Con.
Nice. Awesome. No small feat.
No, not at all. For a book called You Died, that it was an anthology book Funeral in Foam, I think is the name of her story that she did in the book, won an Eisner for best short story. Also just did the Vampire, Buffy the Last Vampire Slayer run.
Oh, that's the same one? Same okay, they did the comic. Yeah. The artwork in that was
congrats.
Sick.
Congrats.
Yeah, yeah. There's, fantastic. Jaro, Jim Jaro, I think, was the artist on that one.
I remember you got just a couple stills of the panel, a couple panels, and it looked fucking
phenomenal. Oh, yeah, the art's great on it.
That's fantastic.
But,
no, yeah,
but I can't speak to the writing. I haven't written it yet, but like I do need to.
Now she's doing was it Ravenloft D&D book?
Now we're talking another one, which I like.
Yeah, yeah. And also My Little Pony, which I know you're also a huge fan of.
Oh, yeah, massive Brony. Ooh, kill it.
But no, just props to all the spooky kids listening to this episode. Check out You Died. It's a great anthology series about, you know, death, really.
Absolutely. I absolutely pick that up.
We'll check it out, so. But yeah, Sandman was of that era where I was watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer and I was reading John the Homicidal Maniac and Squee and Lenore and Sandman and The Crow and like all the spooky kid shit and listening to The Misfits and Christian Death and just like my life is pain.
I would say as sad.
Not realizing, skinny puppy
not realizing what it was like when you had to pay medical bills as an adult. That's pain. Yeah. That's fucking pain.
That's
I would say that I would consider Sandman on a level of like just as far as like how sad and mopey it was to like The Crow.
The Crow's way mopeier.
Way mopeier.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, the Sandman comics are definitely mopeier than the series is.
If you could read the Smiths, that was The Crow. I mean, it's just like you got Morrissey all over the pages, man.
If the Smiths dress like Trent Reznor, then you got The Crow.
Yes. No, that's way more emo.
Man, talk about like this. Sandman and The Crow and all that ages me a specific time that, you know, when I went to high school, because everyone of that era had the Crow kid that just dressed like the fucking Crow in high school, or at least there was one in my high school, maybe not the face paint all the time, but like long unwashed hair and the trench coat and like, I'm sad. Yeah, you get it, you like The Crow.
Well, the trench
like,
coat too, but the trench coat also got stopped shortly after
that kind of went out of fashion.
That was my senior year of high school, actually.
Wow, now you're making me feel old. If that was your senior year, I was standing behind a bar.
I think I was just going into high school.
That was 99.
Okay, I'm leaving. Terribly rude on both of your parts.
I was just going into high school. No, okay. I was 99, would have been going into 10th grade. Because I remember Y2K was in my sophomore
year. You were in 10th grade
in
99?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I'm 38, dude.
Wow.
You old.
Wow.
You old motherfucker.
Again, I'm the youngest motherfucker in the room. Hey. Don't worry, I'll be 40 soon. Then we might be in the same decade. So there you go.
Fuck you. Sorry. I'm so sorry. I coughed right into the microphone. Fuck you. All right. No, that was just me saying it.
No, eventually we'll all be in the same decade and it'll be fine.
Good luck getting that domestic beer when you're eating next time.
Damn it.
Eat it dry.
Eat it dry. Choke on them. Choke on them.
Okay, so who do we think is going to play Destruction? When
ooh,
it comes back.
Yeah. I don't know.
Sean Bean.
David Harbour.
I mean, I'm a little
not
Harbour
the worst
out.
Choice, but
I'm
yeah.
a little Harbour out.
Especially after when he's straight from Stranger Things, Hellboy was fucking atrocious.
That wasn't his fault.
Dude, he still acted. It was a bad Hellboy.
Yeah. No, that I agree. I agree.
Okay,
it was all
right. So right on the heels of Sandman is another massive thing with me is Hellboy.
Yeah.
That movie sucked.
Oh, it sucked. Yeah.
And I understand he can't control the writing, but how he portrayed Hellboy was fucking terrible.
Okay, so I was so excited. I got to watch this lecture by Mike Mignola down at VCU.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
It was amazing. At first, you know, it was one of those, they were just talking about creative, you know, thought processes and creative theory, and it was for students, you know, but I was like, oh God, I think I'm in the wrong place. And it's like almost a 4-hour lecture and I'm sitting right at like third row back in the middle, great seats, but it's like, I can't leave. That would be really awkward. Yeah. And then he finally was like, hey, fuck it. Does everybody just want to talk about movies and comic books and fun stuff? And it was like, yay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
During
who doesn't?
That, yeah. Right. So during that they were still filming. I think they were in post-production for that Hellboy and he was talking it up and everything. And I got really excited because he was like, this one's going to be a horror movie, you know, and it's the way I wanted it. Because I wasn't thrilled with the first one. I didn't hate it. The second one I liked a lot. I thought the second one was a lot of fun.
Golden Army.
Yeah. But none of it still captured what I think Hellboy is and mm-hmm. and the way it is on page. And then the movie came out. And I was like, oh, you know, and I've talked to Mike a couple of times at different cons, and he's a really nice guy. You know, I mean, it's not like we're buddies. We don't know each other.
But yeah,
this
yeah.
This is a quick interaction. At yeah, the yeah, table. Yeah. It's like, hey, you know,
yeah.
I've got a table like, 14 oh, rows away. You know, you're signing a couple of my books. We go way back. But he's a nice guy. He's a really nice guy. But I was like, oh, damn it, Mike, you lied to me because this sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just so bad.
Yeah, it's like, eventually, I just want a good, hard R, true to form Hellboy movie.
No, see, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. I need more Hellboy comics whenever Mike wants to do them. But
they need to stop doing
and
it.
We're done.
That's, I think Hellboy, just like Ghost Rider, is something they need to stop trying to do movies of and do series of.
Yep. No, I'm good. Let's just do comic books now.
I mean, the animated ones weren't too bad.
They were okay. No, they were okay.
Yeah, I got them in my collection. They're
but
fun.
I mean,
yeah.
they talk about bringing back Ghost Rider. Stop with the fucking movies. Just we've already been down that road. It's trash. Do series.
I think it's been long enough that if you find a way to do it
serious,
you know, like find your own new
series.
Take on
series.
You know, I don't need to see Bruce Wayne's parents die again.
Yeah,
we don't need to bury Uncle Ben again.
Nope.
I might get slaughtered on the internet for this, but I don't need any more Skywalkers in my life.
No, I'm done with the family.
You know what?
There's a whole galaxy out there. Let's go look around.
Yeah, I'm done with that family.
What's on the next planet?
Is a weird.
Not everything is on Tatooine.
I started watching the Clone Wars cartoon,
mm-hmm.
and I've actually like softened my feeling about the prequels. Doesn't mean I love them, but like it's filling in a lot of gaps for me, so I have a different kind of appreciation for it. And then the Disney ones, I don't hate. Okay, the last one's fucking garbage, but like, I'm still not as much of a hater good. As a lot of people are for the Disney ones. And that being said, I don't want another Skywalker movie.
No,
I don't.
I'm done.
I don't need necessarily a movie for a good long while.
Yeah.
I'm
Mando good, and there, Boba Fett were good. I liked Obi-Wan.
I would love their.
I'd much rather watch
that,
the shows.
Ryan Johnson still has an option to do a trilogy of movies that takes place in the Star Wars universe, but not in the Skywalker.
So does Taika, right?
And Taika does,
yeah.
So I think that's their plan, is to move away from Skywalkers and just explore the universe.
Again, we've been on like 5 planets, and we have talked about like 15 generations of the same family.
Yeah. So I'm cool with you. You want to explore more of this massive universe that's been created? Great.
Wow. There's nothing else out there.
Great.
This is
awesome.
No, yeah. Nothing else. That's
nothing
it.
Else.
Nothing
else. Locked in. Locked
the kids from Stranger Things, that cast managed its way into Russia in four seasons.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You got into Russia in the 80s, so we can get off of Tatooine.
Yeah. Get off of Tatooine. No, what is it? Jaro, which is like another fucking desert planet. Great.
Well, yeah, because there's only a couple of types of planets, man. You've got desert planet. You got city planet. You've got like one swamp planet. You've got a couple of really cold planets.
Cold planets, yeah.
And then a couple of pretty planets where the fish people
live. Oh, you got
nobody wants to go back.
Lava planets that is just for like.
Just a fuck up. Yeah.
Just for scary castles.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's scary castles and Sith Lords and you know that. Yeah, that's pretty much all we got. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like Dune and Star Wars are heavily aligned with the type of planets they have because, you know.
Well, I mean, Dune, like Star Wars was clearly inspired by Dune. The fact that the one drug in all the universe is spice in Star Wars. I wonder where they got that idea. Like,
wait, there's only one drug in that galaxy?
Oh, no, there's death sticks as well. Yes. Like, they mentioned death sticks in
one time. Yeah.
One time.
Yeah, I don't want to do this with my life.
No, the spice trade, like, Poe Dameron was a spice runner before he became, like, a hero of the fucking rebellion.
There's another great reason to go out and explore the universe. We need something else to get high on.
If oh my god,
more drugs, more fucking drugs.
I've done all the death sticks. Let's leave.
Like it's just like Poe Dameron being like, I just want to see what else is out there, and he drives, and then he's in a Dune movie. Fucking great.
Well, the actor was actually in a.
No, but then it's just a moment where Poe Dameron
becomes House Atreides. Yeah.
That's the prequel to Dune, where he comes from Star Wars to start House Atreides.
He's like, I need to grow a beard.
Okay, fine, that level, man. We can take it a step.
But then he goes back to a desert planet.
Okay, if we're going to jump franchises here, what if...
I feel like this is nice.
What
are we doing?
The Predators were so impressed with the way Dutch kicked their ass that they literally got hard to work at AI, and that's how we got the Terminator.
Holy shit.
If it could kick our ass... With some sticks and mud.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. Let's make him out of metal and give him a bunch of guns and shit.
But we
make
never,
metal one of these.
We never got Terminator versus Predator. Like, Predators never came back when Skynet took over.
You ever seen a Predator fight a Terminator?
No.
No.
Oh.
Right?
No. Skynet takes over.
They didn't understand the language very well, so they thought they said armored Schwarzenegger. And okay.
No, but seriously,
that.
Like,
you can do that. That's great.
If Predator, that little nugget of genius I just dropped, man.
If the Predator,
I'm smoking pots as I
if we have
on.
The Predator,
come, seven guys.
We have the Predator to come back to Earth after Skynet takes over, and then they land. And like, they're trying to figure it out, and they just start getting fucking murked out of them. Like, dude,
yeah.
Terminators, I think, might win on that one.
Yeah, we are in Knights territory, so I think we should probably go ahead and do our final thing.
Yeah,
and get that going. So the last little bit that we do. Is a little thing called making a drunken scene.
Making a drunken scene.
That's fun. I want a monocle, guys.
We've got a couple choices here. We've got one dialogue that we were talking about. It's the dialogue from Dream talking about you created all these collectors, quote unquote, that you're talking about. Then we also have another piece from Dream and Death, and they're talking about like basically why Death is not mad about her job anymore, which I think is a great scene.
That whole episode was gorgeous.
That was a beautiful. Beautiful, well done, just, oh my God. That was the thing I was on pins and needles the most about was Death. I mean, I cannot tell you how important that character is.
So if anybody has a personal want to be either the Dream with the monologue about the collectors or Dream or Death from the conversation between the two of them.
I can be Dream in the second go.
Dream.
All right, I'll be Death. So,
All right, so I'm reading the Dream lines?
That's your lines right there. Whenever you're ready.
And you, who call yourselves collectors, until now you have sustained fantasies in which you are the victims, comforting daydreams, which though you are always right, but no more! The dream is over. Taking it away! For this is my judgment upon you, that you shall know from this moment on exactly how craven and selfish and monstrous you are.
You went from, like, James Bond to, Bayou Preacher.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, awesome. Absolutely, man.
That was awesome. Great.
No, man, you have to end it on a southern draw, man.
That's fantastic. All right, so we are stuck with following that.
Christ, I am good at this, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. So that's pretty
good. Like killing
chills.
The game.
Not too shabby.
Killing the game, for sure.
Okay, all right.
So this is between Dream and Death, and it's about, Dream asking kind of how you are here for all these dead people.
Mm.
So whenever you're Dream.
How you do it?
Do what?
The being there for them and the them and the being there.
I have a job to do and I do it. When the first living thing existed, I was there. When the last thing, Jesus, when the last thing dies, I will put a chairs on the table, turn out the lights, and lock the universe behind me when I leave. And I'm not there for all of them. There are exceptions, Mad Hattie. And then there's that ongoing Project Hugo. How's he bearing up after all this time?
Who? Hobgadling? I was forced to miss our last appointment.
Well, I'm sure he'd love to see you. There'd never been no keen to see me, though.
Christ. All this is, and the thing is, like, I work in this fucking industry now. This is guaranteeing I'm never going to get any voiceover work whatsoever, ever, in my entire fucking life.
Mad Hattie talking to Herschel Walker was amazing.
Nailed it, actually. Fuck. Well.
Oh.
Jesus. All right, well, there's a reason we put this at the end.
Yeah, it's much better at actually, it's much better at the end.
Yeah.
Holy
so,
shit.
Thank you so much to my panel for joining on this fucking fantastic ride through the dreamscape that is the Sandman, or what's the dreamscape called? What is it?
The Dreaming.
The Dreaming. Dreaming. That's, yeah. The Dreaming.
I know. Very difficult to remember that from the dream.
It is. Well,
it is, totally.
There's Dream and, you know.
There's the ing dreaming. At the end.
Yes.
Yeah, that's tough. The ing part is really where I get caught up. Yeah. So if you enjoyed this episode, why? But also, Make sure that you rate, review, subscribe to the show, and then we will show up in your little little app.
In your living room.
In your living room.
Be in your home.
And perform it live every week. Please like us. We're not desperate. I promise.
Yeah.
rate, review, subscribe. Let your friends know how much fun you're having listening to this nonsense, and they'll judge you. But they might subscribe also, and we appreciate that. And listen to the other shows on the network at GUIpodcast.com. Thank you so much to the Creepazoids for the intro and outro on this episode. And we'll find you next time for another episode. I'm Mike the Hobbit.
I am Lowdown.
Join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
Join us or die. Join us or die. Or I will swallow your soul.
GUIpodcast.com.